Welcome once again to our series number 3, Intelligent Design and Biological Evolution Debate. We're talking to our regular participant, Ron Eldred, who teaches religion and history at John Paul II Catholic High, which incidentally is moving right now to this old Sacred Heart school at 13th and Lafayette. I'm your interviewer today, Monsignor Larry Moran, Pastor Emeritus of St. Patrick Catholic Church here in Terrewood, Indiana. Ron, welcome once again. We've been talking about the philosophy of intelligent design. Some of the scientific things, but we're going to go into that a little bit more later on. We've been talking about the philosophy behind, or the thinking behind, biological evolution, and there's a big debate going on in the country that even went to the Supreme Court in the year 1987, Edwards versus Aguillard, and the Supreme Court ruled out the possibility of teaching, at least for now, intelligent design in public schools in science classes. So I think you mentioned before that creationism or creation science was sort of the root of intelligent design. Is that correct?
Intelligent design was an earlier version.
Oh, it was.
Yes, and that was what was actually outlawed by the Supreme Court in the Aguilar case in 1987. There are other subsequent cases that we're going to be looking at where intelligent design itself has been, at least particular versions of it or certain approaches to it, were outlawed by the Supreme Court. And we'll be looking at that in some of our later sessions.
Okay. And just to say at the beginning, in case you've missed some of the other programs, we're not in any way as Catholics questioning that there is a creator of all things, a designer for all the design that exists in the world, both in living and in non-living things. But we're talking about specifically what's Catholic connection to evolution and Catholic connection to this, I think, really wonderful effort on intelligent design to, from a scientific viewpoint, to try and help see that materialism, or that we don't have to have God at the beginning of things, really doesn't make very much sense, even from a scientific viewpoint. So, Ron, we're up to creation science. Give me a little bit of statement on creation science.
Creation science is primarily a Protestant thing. As we said, primarily in evangelical, Pentecostal circles. It was very popular, you know, probably in the 50s and the 60s before the idea of the intelligent design movement really took off. But it usually had to do with a literal interpretation of the Bible, and many of the creation scientists believe that they had scientific evidence that the story as told in, let's say, the first two chapters of Genesis was more accurate than the other scientists who used the more evolutionary approaches to explaining the cosmos and the formation of life and the development of life. And so creation science was an attempt to try to make basically Genesis 1 and 2 scientific, using scientific methodology, which we're going to look at in a couple more sessions from now, exactly what is scientific methodology.
And I think it would be good to quote Cardinal Baronius just from the little past session towards the end, that kind of clearly states our Catholic position on interpreting the scriptures. Can you remember that?
Cardinal Baronius in about 1598 said that, quote, "The Bible teaches the way to go to heaven."
There's no question about that.
But not the way the heavens go.
Okay.
End of quote. In other words, the Bible is not a scientific text. Genesis 1 and 2 doesn't explain precisely scientifically how God did it.
Okay.
That it basically is meant to be more allegorical, that it tells a story, as an allegory does, that has a truth, that has a moral truth to it, a purpose to it, but it's not meant to be taken necessarily literally. Even St. Augustine, of course, recognized.
Now that's fifth century.
Back in the fourth century, yes.
Okay. But as Catholics, we can believe in the creation account if we want to, as
sure.
a literal description, but we don't have to, and there seems to be good reason scientifically from many sources, and even from Vatican statements and the popes, Pope John Paul II and Benedict XVI, that there seems to be some good foundation to much of what evolution teaches, as long as it doesn't get into that God didn't begin things.
Yes, we're going to get into that subject in some detail. Catholics don't have a real problem with the theory of evolution. At least, again, if you give God a role in it, and which, of course, a lot of modern scientists don't.
Sure.
And that's where we would certainly beg to differ, of course, with the modern scientists. But theistic evolution, the Catholic Church, even since the time of St. Augustine in the fourth century, had some idea of this idea of theistic evolution. And what I mean by that is that maybe life did evolve, but that's the way God did it.
Okay.
That God started everything, and he designed it, he started everything, got it into motion and what have you. But then he created these, natural laws, his own laws, and this is the way things are meant to work, unless he intervenes miraculously, in the way these things work.
Okay.
And that human beings can operate and so to speak, co-create with God. They can do things that what we call secondary creation.
Okay.
Well, and again, we're going to come back to that secondary
would be,
creation
instance,
later, too.
In the creation, co-creation of a child. And there's certainly an evolutionary process in the development of a child and to a baby and a young person, etc., going through to adulthood. There's certainly an evolution in there. And that's part of God's plan.
And, of course, parents, as they cooperate with God, would be an example of what we call secondary causation.
Ron, the next question would be, is creationism scientific, or if anything is scientific about creation science?
Well, I think this is a fairly difficult question. In a later session, we're going to spend maybe two sessions, we're going to spend some time describing what the scientific method is. So we'll have a basis for discussing whether or not evolution is a science, or whether true science, or whether ID or intelligent design is a science. But for now, creation scientists, they think it's scientific. In fact, they think it's even more scientific than what the evolution scientist
has described in the Bible, in the books of Genesis, book of Genesis chapters.
Yes, they believe, advocates of creation science believe that the earth can best be scientifically accounted for by a flood geology. We'll get down into some specifics now.
Okay.
Instead of a gradual evolutionary or uniformitarian model of geology that requires many millennia or thousands of years, maybe even millions of years. They think that the Genesis account of the flood of Noah's time is historically accurate, and that scientific evidence exists to prove it. That is the best explanation of the Earth's formation or creation. This is called creation geology. Furthermore, they claim that the theory of the common descent of all life by means of biological evolution is pseudoscientific or false science, and they offer creation biology in its place. Moreover, they reject the dominant scientific theories on the age of the universe, proposing instead a creation cosmology based on the age of the Earth and universe of less than 10,000 years.
Which is a very small amount
yes.
of time.
I think that even some of some creationists, use the time of the Earth's existence as calculated by Bishop James Usher, a 17th century Archbishop of Armagh, Ireland, who dates the creation of the world at 4004 B.C. You hear a lot of Protestants. I've heard a lot of Protestants. An old Protestant grandmother of mine, I think, used to use that date of the formation. So that means, the earth was not much more than 6,000 years old.
Okay.
In fact, a man by the name of Sir James Lightfoot, he even refined this calculation to 9 a.m. October the 3rd, 4004 B.C.
Wow.
I read that several times. Some creationists have advocated the teaching of creation science at the public schools for many years now, and including these things that we've just talked about here.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the great majority of the scientific community overwhelmingly dismiss creation science as valid science, claiming that it's pseudoscientific, that is, it's a false science. For example, to quote the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, quote, "The claims of creation science lack empirical support and cannot be meaningfully tested. These observations lead to two fundamental conclusions. The teaching of evolution should be an integral part of science instruction, and creation science is, in fact, not science and should not be presented as such in science classes," end of quote. It also claims, that is the U.S. National Academy of the Sciences, it also claims that, quote, "creationism, intelligent design, and other claims of supernatural intervention and the origin of life or of species are not science because they are not testable by the methods of science," end of quote. Most evolutionary and cosmological theories propose a naturalistic view that the universe and what it contains gradually evolved over billions of years, which appears to contradict the Bible. That is, you know, if you interpret the Bible literally, as, of course, fundamentalists do. A strictly literal interpretation holds that the Bible was created in 6 24-hour days and that the earth is only about 6,000 years old. And this is known as the young earth theory.
Okay, now this naturalistic view really, that they weren't taught in public schools, eliminates any kind of intelligent designer or creator or God at the beginning.
Yes, it does.
Okay, well, say a few more things about the evolutionary and cosmological theories that are in this naturalistic, that are naturalistic, that don't have God at the beginning.
Well, naturalism is a philosophy or an ideology that all reality comes under the laws of nature. Philosophical naturalists claim that the universe is they call it a closed system, in which there is no God who intervenes in the universe and in human affairs. They may not deny that there is a God, but they'll say that that God does not intervene or have anything to do, you know, with the universe. Everything is everything goes according to the so-called laws of nature.
How would that differ from being a deist?
It doesn't.
Okay.
Yes, a deist is one who believes that there is a God, that God designed the universe, put it into motion, but then left it alone, left his hands off of it, and just let it go according to the laws he'd established. That was a very common view held, of course, back in the 18th century by many Frenchmen, Englishmen, and other people in Europe, and even many of the forefathers in this country here, Jefferson, for example, perhaps even George Washington to some extent, and John Adams to some extent, but particularly Thomas Jefferson was a deist.
Okay, so that wouldn't deny God in the beginning, but that he let everything go and take care of itself, never intervenes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, they presuppose that science is the only way, these naturalists now we're talking about,
okay,
that science is the only way to understand truth. And the idea that everything could be explained scientifically, we call that scientism. In other words, if you believe that everything can be explained scientifically, then that's called scientism. On the other hand, supernaturalism is the belief that God intervenes in the course of natural laws. Creationists have become particularly associated with beliefs that conflict with the theory of evolution by mechanisms that act on genetic variation or mutation and natural selection that we described in one of our earlier sessions when we were describing the theory of evolution. And to counteract this naturalistic view, creationists and people of the ID school, the intelligent design, they have undergone a religious, political, and social campaign to force the educational establishment to include supernaturalistic views of creation in the nation's schools. And this is where they ran into trouble.
Okay. Well,
and I might add a lot of resistance.
Okay.
And quite successful resistance, I might add.
Okay. But they still heroically keep trying.
They keep trying, yes.
All right.
We're going to tell that story in a couple of sessions, later sessions.
All right. Don't some creationists accept evolution by natural selection?
Yes, they do. Although most creationists hold the view of the literal interpretation of the Bible regarding creation, some accept the idea of evolution by natural selection, as well as scientific explanations of the origins and development of the universe, the earth, and life. And this is often called the old earth theory. In other words, you have to allow enough time for evolution to take place.
Okay.
In the creationist view, the strict literal interpretation of Genesis view, there's just a short 6,000. They believe that the earth hasn't existed, you know, any longer than about 6,000 years, and this is the young earth the thesis. But there are some creationists that adhere to this, what's called the old or earth theory, to allow enough time for evolutionary processes to take place. This view goes under the such names as theistic evolution, evolutionary creationism, progressive creationism, names of that sort.
Okay.
And some creationists hold the view that neither the standard evolutionary theory or the theistic evolution theory is verifiable by the scientific method, but that the scientific evidence tends to support the strictly creation model of origin better than does the evolutionary model. That is the literal interpretation.
The 6 days of creation,
yes,
meaning 24 hours?
Yes, six 24-hour days.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's a, when
and,
you
and 6,000 and, you know, 4 years or whatever.
Okay. Well, wouldn't we ourselves classify ourselves as theistic evolutionists in general from a Catholic viewpoint?
I think the Catholic Church as a whole accepts the idea of theistic evolution.
And meaning that God is at the beginning, but then how all things were created could be open to question, could be evolutionary, or it could be direct.
Yeah, and the basically it's sort of, one way of putting it is, it's just simply the way God did it. That he created everything through a gradual uniformitarian evolutionary process. And basically, I think the Catholic Church can certainly live with that very comfortably.
Sure.
Even St. Augustine, you know, had a similar...
theories about
yes.
a day being a period
yes,
of time.
A much longer period of time.
Thousands of years.
Yes.
Or okay. Well, is it? Let's go back then to our intelligent design... being scientific, that's where a big argument comes about.
Well, you know, what we've done so far is that there is a relationship between creationism and intelligent design. In fact, the whole intelligent design movement grew out of creationism.
It grew out of creationism.
Yes.
Okay.
Some critics claim that the intelligent design is simply another name for creationism.
Okay.
I understand that the modern use of the term intelligent design began after the Supreme Court case of Edwards versus Aguilar in 1987, when the court ruled that creationism is unconstitutional in the public school science curriculum. So in other words, you didn't really hear the term intelligent design or ID much before 1987.
Really?
But when the court struck down the Louisiana law in 1987 in Aguilar case, that's when you begin to hear ID and the development of this whole idea of intelligent design. Stephen C. Meyer, who we mentioned in some of our earlier sessions, in connection with the Discovery Institute and its organ, the Center for Science and Culture, which he runs, he says that the term came up in 1988, so this is a year after the Aguilar case, at a conference he attended in Tacoma, Washington, called Sources of Information Content in DNA. Meyer attributes the phrase to Charles Thaxton, who is editor of a book called Of Pandas and People, The Central Question of Biological Origins, which was written by a man by the name of Percival Davis, and actually two authors, another man by the name of Dean Kenyon, and was published by the Texas-based Foundation for Thought and Ethics. Now, critics of this book claim that the word creationism, this was a creationism book. This was a textbook that was created for freshman biology class or maybe even middle school, you know, biology class, from a creationist point of view.
Okay.
Where they marshal all of what they thought the scientific evidence.
Would be following the description in Genesis.
The literal interpretation in Genesis, yes.
Okay.
So again, the name of the book is Of Pandas and People, The Central Question of Biological Origins. And critics of this book claim that the word creationism was changed to intelligent design in subsequent drafts of the book. This is after 1987, after Aguilar case. The book was first published in 1989, and I'm aware of a 1993 edition. I don't know if there's any subsequent to that time. But nonetheless, the text promotes the idea of intelligent design, the idea that life shows evidence of being designed by an intelligent agent, and criticizes arguments promoting the scientific theory of evolution. Now, Philip E. Johnson, a retired University of California Berkeley law professor and author, is considered the father of the intelligent design movement. He first promoted intelligent design nationally in his 1991 book called Darwin on Trial. Very, very famous book.
Really?
He has worked closely with Meyer as an advisor to the Center for Science and Culture, especially in forming and executing the Wedge and the Teach the Controversy strategies. We're going to explain those. He has allegedly stated that the goal of the intelligent design is to cast creationism as a scientific concept, taking this whole idea, in other words, and to recast it as a scientific concept. He and other leaders of the movement say that intelligent design exposes the limitations of scientific orthodoxy and of the secular philosophy of naturalism, which we talked about a little while ago. They claim that science shouldn't be limited to naturalism, that is, strictly naturalistic explanations, and shouldn't demand the adoption of a naturalistic philosophy that dismisses any explanation that contains a supernatural cause of any kind out of hand. And they have been quoted as saying the overall goal of the movement is to, quote, defeat the materialist worldview represented by the theory of evolution in favor of a science consonant with Christian and theistic convictions, end of quote.
Okay, so that's a pretty clear definition of what their goal is as intelligent design, to try to overcome the materialism that so exists in scientific classes and public schools.
Yes.
All right. Is intelligent design a valid method of science? In other words, does intelligent design utilize the scientific method? Now, this is a hot topic. Yeah,
yes, it is. Well, you might recall a little earlier in this session, we looked at the question, is creationism or creation science scientific? And we don't have the tools yet to judge that, because we're going to spend a couple of sessions looking at what the scientific method is. And then after we do that, then we'll be able to make a more clear judgment. All we can do at this point is just simply say what the opponents say.
Okay.
And certainly the opponents of creation science say that it's not scientific, that it doesn't use the scientific methodology we're going to be looking at. Now, if to the extent that intelligent design evolves out of creation science, which, you know, you can see we have shown there is some connection, a very strong connection there, obviously, you can see what the opponents are going to say. The opponents, of course, are going to claim that intelligent design is not a valid method of science.
As so decreed by the Supreme Court in 1987.
Yes.
Hang on.
This is an old debate over the merits of intelligent design as a science. It's at least a couple centuries old. This is not something that crops up, you know, in the 90s and on into our own decade, you know, here in the 20th century. But nonetheless, the debate has intensified considerably for the past couple of decades. And many scientists who oppose the teaching of intelligent design in the public schools claim that it is not a science. In fact, they call it a pseudoscience, meaning a false science. And they claim that the intelligent design is nothing more than a form of disguised creationism. And we know, as I said, it just sort of evolved out of that. It crops up right after the Aguilar case in 1987, you know. So, you know, there's an old Latin saying about proctor or something or another. I can't remember exactly how it goes. Because of this, you know, doesn't necessarily mean something follows from it.
Okay.
Although many scientists and philosophers maintain that intelligent design is nothing but warmed over creationism, Christians respond that instead of science, their children are being taught atheism in disguise. And something I think I would have to agree with, and I think we'll pretty well prove that later on in a later session. They argue that naturalistic explanations fail to explain certain phenomena, and that supernatural explanations provide a very simple and intuitive explanation for the origins of life and the universe. Proponents, that is, those who are, you know, all for the intelligent design, say that evidence exists in the form of irreducible complexity and specified complexity that cannot be explained by natural processes. You remember those are two of the four various forms of that the ID arguments take.
Okay.
Another is, you know, the anthropic principle and
the whole idea of complexity of the
yes.
human eye, complexity yes. of a feather, complexity of the human heart system.
The intelligent design argument is that some biological structures are so complex that an intelligent designer must have intervened in shaping their development. Proponents believe that not only does intelligent design best fit the facts, but it defends the existence of God as well. Now, supporters hold that religious neutrality requires the teaching of both evolution and intelligent design in schools, saying that teaching only evolution unfairly discriminates against those holding creationist beliefs. They say that teaching both intelligent design allows for the possibility of religious belief without causing the state to actually promote such beliefs. Many intelligent design followers believe that scientism, that is, believing that science is the only way that you can discover truth, is itself a religion. It's itself a religion that promotes secularism and materialism in an attempt to erase theism, that is, the belief in a personal God, from public life. And they view their work in the promotion of intelligent design as a way to return religion to a central role in education and other public spheres. Now, I think you'll see that in principle, you know, I really agree with what the intelligent design movement is trying to do. You'll see later on when we get more, after we discuss the scientific method and seeing, trying to judge to some extent whether or not intelligent design really is scientific, as its opponents claim that it isn't. We won't be able to come up with a definitive answer even then. I think you'll find out when we get there that I tend to believe that intelligent design is not scientific in the sense we're going to describe it.
As these evolutionary scientists
yes.
describe it.
Yes, and they're probably right in that sense. It's probably more statistical, more philosophical, more theological than scientific, looking at it strictly from a... But science is not the only method of searching for truth. That's scientism, if you say it is.
Okay.
And that becomes an ideology. That almost becomes a philosophy itself.
Okay.
It's something that I don't think that the proponents are going to admit. Well, we're running out of time here, so we will address each of these issues in subsequent sessions of our series.
Okay, Ron, thanks for... I'd say that was a tough session in trying to clarify some of those ideas, and I think you did a fine job. So many thanks. As we continue in our next session, we'll be talking about about intelligent design and what is the scientific method. So to our listeners, may God bless you always and in all ways.